Huh? I don't know. Our girls are missing in action today. Oh. Yeah, we normally have young ladies that attend to the buckets, and they're missing today. Oh, Bonnie's sick. Well, we believe she's healed in Jesus' name. Hey, Sean, could you give me a cup of water or something, please? Hey, we got a fill-in over here now. We got one in training. Good job. Look at there. Start them young. She's going to read that one. She's got to read that one, though. That's right. It goes in that bucket there. Check that one out. Yeah, is that right? Yeah, that one's good, too. All right, y'all give her a big round of applause. Oh, man. Oh, man, bless you, sir. Thank you. Is everybody, are youth going out? Youth is staying in? AJ, your youth is going out. Okay, so youth and kids. Hey, with a big round of applause, we're going to dismiss our kids and our youth. Well, we've been getting plenty of rain and man, isn't the country beautiful? That beautiful green grass. God's showing off now, isn't he? Woo! I mean, I love it. I love it. I saw today where we've got a few days with sunshine, and we're going to get some more rain. Thank you, Jesus. I already heard people complaining about rain. Are you kidding me? My goodness. It's like, y'all know we're in Texas. It's going to be fine. You know, it'll ease up before long, but man, let's get it while we can. Y'all quit fussing. Quit being whiny. That stinking rain. I love it. I love it. It started raining on me Wednesday when I was mowing. I'm like, man, this is good. I'm not stopping now. That's right. I enjoyed it. Well, this really wasn't my week to preach. I was supposed to preach next week, but I got a text Tuesday night from Pastor Corey and said, oh, you're preaching this week. I said, okay. So Howdy had to run out of town for Corey, and so he's gone. And I started praying and really seeing what the Lord wanted me to preach about this week. And it's amazing how God leads me to different things and things that he really puts on my heart. And I saw this statement, and it said, do you want to get better or do you want to get well? I heard somebody go, I thought, whoa, wait a minute. Let me think about that for a minute. Do you want to get better or do you want to get well? Now, you let that soak in for a minute, because I've been on that one side where, man, I just wanted it better. I just wanted, whether it was a relationship or finances or health, I just want to be better. I just want to feel better. I just need enough to make that electric bill and that car payment and that house payment this month, and then I'm going to start over next month, and I want to feel better next month. Or do you want to be well? You see, do you want to be healed? Do you want your finances to be more than enough? Well, I want you to start thinking about this, because this is what we're going to talk about. I titled this sermon, and you'll see why in a few minutes, Are You Laying by the Pool? Now, it's not vacation. I'm not talking about vacation, so y'all quit thinking about, yeah, I want to be laying by the pool. Are you kidding me? No, this one's called Are You Laying by the Pool? You'll see why in a few minutes. So, when I talk about do you want to get better or do you want to get well, what does it take to go from getting better to getting well? A breakthrough. Now, If I was willing to guess, I bet there's a lot of people in here waiting on a breakthrough in their lives right now. Whether it's spiritual, whether it's health, whether it's circumstances at work, I would be willing to guess that there's quite a few folks in here that need a breakthrough. Need a breakthrough and want a breakthrough. So I started out, this is where I started. So I'll just walk y'all through how I did this sermon this week. How's that? You don't see me do this very often, but I wanted to make sure that I gave these definitions correctly so it would make sense. A breakthrough, there's three different definitions under breakthrough. Breakthrough is, the first one is an offensive movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's front line. That's if we're talking military. You see, that's, and it says offensive. It's not defensive. So you're going to have to do something for that breakthrough. You see, it's when we take that offensive step and we do something to break through it. We trust in God that He's going to do something supernaturally. Amen? Number two, the second definition. Act or instance of breaking through a barrier. Now, that can be that your breakthrough in a relationship. Can be with your kids. Can be with your spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend that you're trying to break through. So it's an instance, a one-time thing that you're trying to break through. Number three. It's a sudden advance. Happens in individuals, relationships, health, situation, environment. I read that setbacks are not stumbling blocks. They're stepping stones. I like that. If you're taking notes, you should write that one down. That was a good one. Because that's real good right there. You see, I read that there's an evangelist that was in Europe in the 1800s. His name was George Mueller. And he wrote this, and it rang so true. You can never bring about supernatural change through natural means. Now, a bunch of you staring at me, I'm going to read it again because I think you didn't get it. It might have went in one ear and out the other. Let me read it again. It says, you can never bring about supernatural change through natural means. Amen. When we try to do it ourselves, it's not happening, y'all. It's not happening. Faith doesn't operate on the realm of possible. I got some good ones this morning. I found some good ones. Man, the Holy Spirit was just guiding me. There's no glory for God in that which man can do. Man. Now that's deep right there, y'all. But not deep enough that you can not get it. You see, we have to learn that if we can do it, there's no glory. The glory is that God enabled us to do it. You see, then we give God all the glory. Faith begins where power ends. That's why I wrote it down. Faith begins where man's power ends. Made more sense then, didn't it? Yeah. So, when I studied all this out, what we need to know is this biblical. Is breakthroughs biblical? Is there a biblical sense that we can look at this? Well, okay, so we start with, before earth, heavens and earth, there was nothing. And you know, God's looking around, it ain't nothing. Boom, there it is. He made something. He made the earth. Isn't that a breakthrough? Yeah, amazing. He made the earth. He said, let there be light. That's a breakthrough. He said, let's make man in the image of us. That's a breakthrough. So the whole Bible started with breakthrough. You see, and then as it starts and goes, there's Abraham, who had a 90-year-old wife that was believing for an heir. She had a baby. Would that be a breakthrough, y'all? Yeah. Heck yeah. That's more than a breakthrough right there, a 90-year-old lady having a baby. Come on. Woo! Abraham was old, but I'd have been jumping up and down or something, or one leg, I don't know. Man, that's a breakthrough, y'all. Woo! Abraham should have been doing a jig or something. And then you have Joshua and you got Gideon. Gideon, hey, he took 300 men and he beat a whole army. That's a breakthrough. Wow. So what we're seeing is there is a pattern, right? There's a biblical pattern. And then we get, that's through the Old Testament. And as we get to the New Testament, wow, even more breakthrough. So we're going to be in John today. And I have to tell y'all that while I was working on this, the Holy Spirit was just like, I tingled the whole time I wrote and studied on this message. I get that a little bit when I work on other sermons at times, but there's somebody that needs this morning because I tingled for 2 days working on this. And that was the Holy Spirit, I can tell y'all. I know how he moves in me. And it would just come over me. It's amazing. So I know, well, it's probably because I may need this too, you know? John chapter 5. Say amen when you get there. Amen. Oh my, if you're not. Oh, I got an oh my. Okay, that's all right. We'll wait on you. Amen, you're there? Okay. Everybody good? Okay, so we're going to start in verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered. Excuse me. I just took a drink of water. Now I'm going to stop right here for just a minute. And what you need to know about Jerusalem here is that Jerusalem is supposed to be a peaceful place. But at this time, there's not just a lot of people don't have a lot of peace. Jerusalem's supposed to be a blessed place, but some people aren't getting blessed. Bethesda means house of olives or house of mercy. Now, I never really found out. I don't know what olives has to do with mercy, but hey, we go with house of mercy. And here at this time, there's nobody really receiving mercy. All these people are laying by this pool. Hence the title, Are You Laying by the Pool? You've got all these people that are laying by the pool, but they're not receiving mercy. You see, there's a lot of people today that are doing the same thing. They're there, you're there, but you're not receiving that mercy. Are you getting better? Are you getting well? See, we're called kings. We're called to be kings, but yet we abuse our inheritance and we just sit on it. We wait on people to do stuff for us. We wait for somebody else to do our breakthrough for us. Okay, now I need to explain something real fast because there are some Bibles that may not have the next part of verse 3 and verse 4. Some Bibles will, some Bibles won't. The end of 3 says, waiting for the moving of the water. Verse 4, for an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, it's just in translation that some Bibles didn't include those little deals because of the scribes that were doing it. Where I researched, just so you'll know, that in Revelation 16, it talks about the angels of water. So I'm going to go with, it's in my Bible. It's in the King James Version. I know I think NIV doesn't have it in there, and there's a few others, but it's not a big deal. Just someday that you want to find out more about it, just look, check it out. But I did, because there are some that may not have it in there. So let's read verse 3 and verse 4 again. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Now, these people, blind, withered, which means that some of them were paralyzed, some of them were, you know, I don't know, had a hurt big toe. They were waiting to be healed. But the only way they could be healed was after the angel stirred the water. And only the first one in got it. Then you had to come back for the next day and wait again. So one word that I want to look at in here is waiting. They're talking about a certain kind of waiting, but there's two kinds of waiting. The first kind of waiting is, we all know that we have to wait on the Lord, right? Right? I thank y'all. Just checking. Waiting on the Lord doesn't mean that we do this. I'm waiting on the Lord. Oh, it's me. It's like the people at the pond or the lake. They're waiting on the Lord, but they're not doing anything. But if we understand that when we wait on the Lord, that doesn't mean that we just board up the house and sit in it. You see? Here's what I want you to do. Take your hand, put it in there, or save where we're at, and flip back to the left to Habakkuk. I like saying that one, Habakkuk. Because we're going to stay in John, but I want you all to see this. Habakkuk chapter 2. When we wait on the Lord, we still have to do things. When we wait on the Lord, we still have to go and we still have to keep moving. We have to keep moving spiritually. We have to keep moving toward the mark of the high calling. We've got to move. Amen when you're there. Oh my, if you're not. I've got a couple. That's all right. We're going to be in chapter 2. Did I say that? Now, I'm going to start in verse 2. And we'll get to verse 3. But in verse 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So here they're doing something. They're writing it. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Now, did y'all get that? Because it says it will tarry, but it will not tarry. What that's telling us is that for us, as believers, and we're believing for something, it's going to seem like it tarries at times, doesn't it? I mean, we've all had breakthroughs at times. We've all had to be going through something. And sometimes it doesn't happen overnight, right? I'm going to tell y'all a story. I know y'all find that hard to believe. It's just the way I preach. And this is a true story. It's about a young, good-looking, talented man. What? When he was 15. And he played the fiddle. Oh, wait. That's amazing. And I had really gotten struck by competing in fiddle contests. Fiddle contests, back when I was younger, was just like a rodeo circuit, golf tournament circuit. They were all over the world. And there was one every week, sometimes two or three in a row. Well, I was learning to play classical music because my dad made me, and he didn't even like classical music. But I don't know if he, you know, now, never mind, that's later. I don't know if he did that because he just thought it was a mean thing. No, he wanted me to learn to play the right way, and I respect that. But also, I learned to play those fiddle tunes at home. So at 15, I went to my first contest, and oh my, I wasn't good. I knew three songs. What, their competition tunes. I knew three songs that they competed with. I didn't even know the name of the waltz. I had to ask somebody what the name of the waltz. I'd learned it off a tape. But I was hooked. I loved it. I mean, the best in the world were there. And I'm like, my goodness, I'm going to come back one day and win this. So I go home. And during the summertime, I practiced 8 hours a day. School time, I practiced 2 hours a day in the evening. And I started going to those contests. I didn't win. Didn't even place. I mean, they paid five places in my young division, and I wasn't getting nothing. Man, I'm determined. I'm determined. A year and a half later, I'm still practicing 8 hours a day in the summertime and 2 hours during school time, and I still haven't placed, have not even drawn nothing. But at one contest, we got to visiting with those folks. And finally, after that, I mean, a year and a half, these people knew me. They knew who I was, but I think I was from West Texas, and most of them were all down around Dallas-Fort Worth, down in this part of the country, and I wasn't one of them. You see, because those contests, they're like subjective, you know, they have judges judging, and it's their opinion. And if they don't know you very well, then, well, guess what? You don't win or place for a year and a half. But I had a choice. You see, I was waiting. But while I was waiting to break through, I kept practicing 8 hours a day. And I kept practicing 2 hours in the evening time. And Mom and Dad kept putting gas in the car. And we kept driving 6 hours to compete every week. So you see, there's a difference in that kind of waiting. Just what in Habakkuk is that it will tarry, but it won't tarry. Because now you look back on it and go, wow, didn't seem all that long after all. It was like 1 week, you know. But it was a year and a half, y'all. A year and a half. But I didn't quit. You see, I kept doing something that I knew I was supposed to do instead of waiting. Okay, back to John. Now, in verse 3 and 4, the other kind of waiting is what these are doing, what these people are doing. They're laying around waiting. They don't even, really, they're waiting. Think of the guy that can't even move. They're waiting on the water that he can't even get in the water. See, what we have to learn to do is we have to put our faith in Jesus. You see, and when we put our faith in Jesus, we know that faith without works is dead. So what that tells us is that if we put our faith in Jesus for that breakthrough, then we have to do something. You see, faith without works is dead. So we have to keep doing something. Okay. Verse 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Now this dude's been sick for 38 years. But he shows up. And if you stop and think about it, he's having to rely on people. Okay? He's having to rely on people to help him get to the water. You see, he can't walk himself. So he has to have somebody bring him there in the morning time and drop him off. And then at the end of the day, they have to come back and get him if he didn't get in the water before everybody else. So he's having to rely. He's relying on man. And obviously, it's not really working for him very well here, is it? Because he's still 38 years and he's still laying by the pool. So, verse 6. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Will thou be made whole? Now, isn't that interesting? Because Jesus is looking at a man that's laying here by the pool that can't walk. And what does Jesus ask him? You want to be made whole? He's been coming to this water. And 38 years, I don't know if he's been coming 38 years, but he's had this infirmity for 38 years. So he's been coming to the water a while. Now you would think that is an odd question for Jesus to ask somebody that can't walk. You see, do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be well? Or do you just want to be better? See, that's where that comes in, because I think sometimes people get so caught up in, I'll call it wallowing. Okay? It's the proper word is wallowing. But in Texas, you know, we got to put an ER on the end of it instead of OW. It's wallowing, you know? I think that sometimes people like wallowing in their problems. I do. I really believe, because, like I said, it's like the guy that I told you about that I counseled about the finances. I really believe that some people like to complain and moan about, oh, my Lord, you know, my kids are horrible. You see them a month later, my kids are still horrible. You see them a year later, their kids are still horrible. Don't ask them anymore. Really, because that's what they want. They want you to try to do something for them, you see. Have you ever known, y'all may have friends that, you know, they never have enough money. They're always wanting to borrow money. Always. It's like, what do you work? You know? Here, let me show you how to handle your money. Oh, no. I'm good. No, you're not. You need some help with your finances. Or how about that person that you know that always complains about work? Oh, man. That old gal that types up there at the front, she can't even use Whiteout. Wait, I dated myself then, didn't I? I forget everything's on computer now. She doesn't know how to delete button. Okay. Wow. Man. That's funny, though, isn't it? That's good. I can laugh at myself. Y'all need to learn how. It's fun. I laugh at myself all the time. But you see what I'm saying? People always complaining about people at work, their circumstances. And I honestly believe that that's what some people love doing. And unless they get a hold of the light of Jesus and they understand what Jesus did for us and what can do for them, then, as we say in Texas, they're just going to wallow in it. You know what? Man, what a sad way to have to go through life wallowing in it. Has Jesus been talking to you? Has he been asking you, what breakthrough? Do you want to get healed? Have you been listening to him? What's he asking you? What's he asking you? What's he asking you that you need a breakthrough? Man, that you've been needing something, that break, that powerful, powerful breakthrough that only comes from the kingdom of God that's in us. That's what gives us the power, you see, to use to get through whatever you're going through or whatever you need to break through. And what we have to understand as Christians is that it's not just about a bad thing sometimes. You see, when we need a breakthrough, it may not just be a bad circumstance. It can be something good, you know? Like you want a breakthrough for that bigger job. Man, or hey, you're believing for your kids a breakthrough for a college scholarship. That's a breakthrough, man. That helps on the pocketbook. Sending them kid to college. Oh, Jesus. Man, I'm glad my kids are grown. But you see what I'm saying? It can be a good thing. It doesn't just have to be that I have an illness and I'm looking for a breakthrough. Or that my husband's a bum and lazy and I need a breakthrough. Just an example. Nope. Do you want to get well? You see, that's the question that Jesus is asking this guy. Do you want to get well? Jesus died for us 2,000 years ago or more, over 2,000 years ago. He took everything on him. Maybe, just maybe, we're waiting on him and maybe he's waiting on us. You see, he's done everything he's going to do. We got to receive it. We got to take it. Let's see what in verse 7, what it says. The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool." Oh, but wait a minute. Here we go. You see, he ain't got nobody. Oh, woe is me. You see, he's saying, I don't have anybody to help me. But while I am coming, another is stepped in front of me. Oh, it's somebody else's fault. Blame the person that has a bad arm. They can walk. The guy can't walk. You see, this is what happens. When we're wanting our breakthrough, when we're believing for our breakthrough, are we blaming others that it's not breaking through? Is it like, well, I was the baby of the family and they just mistreated me horribly and it's my family's fault? You see. Or is it that mean spouse that you have that's not agreeing with you? You see, are you blaming somebody else? Are you ready to take ownership of that breakthrough that you want and need? You see, sometimes as couples, we can have breakthroughs that are together, that are an agreement between two people. But a lot of times we have a breakthrough that we need personally. You see, and we have to have support from other people, our family, for that. But if we don't, so what? We have Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know it. Because sometimes your family's not going to get it. your family is not going to understand what you break, what your breakthrough is. Your family may look at you and go, "Are you nuts? What are you doing? That's the craziest thing I've ever heard." Don't let them. Don't let them take away your breakthrough. You see, that's your breakthrough. And you and Jesus, what's that song? You and Jesus got a good thing going. Amen? Oh, I got some amens out of that. That was good. But you see, what I'm saying is that people can be our worst enemies. People can try to sway us one way or the other. No. Jesus came for us to take everything away from us so we would have something. You see, he took away everything, disease, I mean everything, so that we could have. And are you willing to follow that? Are you willing to wait on the Lord, but yet do something to get your breakthrough? You see, with this guy, there was a multitude of people there that day by the pool. But Jesus singled him out. And that's just what I was talking about a while ago, is that it's between you and Jesus. You see, you and Jesus, it's personal. It's personal. When I'm going through something, and I'm working to get through it, my wife can support me, but my breakthrough is not her breakthrough. You see, that's what some of us have to get a hold of, is that they think that, you think that, oh, I can't do this without them. You see, if it's your breakthrough. No, they're there to support you, but Jesus will get you through that breakthrough. He will bring it to you. It's personal. You know, you've heard, oh, don't take it personal. Well, that's if somebody's being ugly to you. You know, don't take it personal. And I don't anymore. Boy, if y'all will learn to not take anything personal when people come against you, it makes life a whole lot easier. However, when it comes to your breakthrough, take it personal with Jesus. Woo, bring it. Don't waller in it. Don't waller in it. Verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." That was kind of no big deal, huh? See, sometimes when we're waiting on that breakthrough, we're waiting for fireworks to go off. I mean, we're waiting for the big boom. It's the big finish. Boom, we broke through. What did Jesus do? He went, "Get your bed, get up, get on out of here." That's all he said. You see, rise and get up means to awaken that breakthrough that you're waiting on. Awaken. You see, we all go through things at times, and we're looking for that breakthrough. So today, what's your mat? What's your bed that you need to pick up and you need to walk? What are you sitting on or laying on or wallowing on that you need to pick up and walk? Because we all need that breakthrough at some point in our lives. Whether it be an addiction or health or circumstance or family or finances, we all at times need a breakthrough. What's your mat? What's that mat that you need to pick up and take. You see, here, what did Jesus do? He didn't make a fanfare of it. Man, if I can get y'all to understand that, because we think that, like, in verse 4, where the angel came down and stirred the water. Did y'all like that? Stirred the water. People want that. People think that they're expecting something to come down and go, here it is. Y'all get ready. I'm going to roll the red carpet out because here's your breakthrough. Y'all, it doesn't come that way. Not all the time. Yeah, there's those aha moments, as they say. Those are always fun. What is your mat that Jesus is telling you? Pick it up and walk. Pick it up and walk. What are you blaming? Stop it. Who are you blaming? Stop it. What are you trying to keep dragging that mat with you everywhere you go? That you keep bringing up. I don't have enough money. That doctor said. Do you hear me? Quit dragging the mat. Pick it up and walk. How many of you today need a breakthrough? If you need a breakthrough, I want you to stand up right now. Doesn't matter. I'm not going to ask you to come. Just stand up where you're at. If you need a breakthrough, whether it's health, whether it's finances, whether it's a relationship, whatever, if you need a breakthrough, I want you to stand up. Amen. It may be this whole place, somebody said. You know what? That's okay. We may all, you know what? We can have a breakthrough and have a revival right here in church, can't we? Amen. That's what we need to do. And start breaking through and have a revival here at church. Lord, right now I pray for these people that need a breakthrough in their life, Father God, that they are not going to be sitting, but they're picking up their mats, Father, that they're going to pick up their mat and they're going to follow Jesus, that their faith is in Jesus, Father God, that we thank you that they know and they love that precious blood of Jesus that Jesus bled for them, Father God. We thank you that no fanfare, no trumpets roaring for them, Father God, but that they understand that you are bringing breakthrough in their life right now in Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen. Y'all can be seated. If you've never given your life to Jesus and you're looking for a breakthrough in your life, man, I ask you right now is the time for that breakthrough. That if you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life and save you, that you can have that power of the kingdom of God in you, I ask you to do that today. We would never not do a service without giving somebody an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, if you've never accepted Jesus, man, I beg you to be your day to ask Jesus to come into your life and save you. And that means being saved from hell. That's a real place and that's a bad place. That you have life everlasting. You see, that's what Jesus died for us, so that we would have life everlasting. That when we leave this earth, that if you're saved, you know that you know that you know that you're going to heaven. Such going to be such an awesome time that you'll bust those gates of heaven wide open. If you've never accepted Jesus, make today your day. I'm not going to ask you to come down to the front. We wouldn't embarrass you. But right where you're sitting, we're going to say a prayer and we're going to pray it out loud. And you're not going to have to say it by yourself. We're going to have other believers, everybody in here saying it out loud. You see, we all need to get this prayer in our heart that we can start reaching other people to be saved to the kingdom. Man, such an awesome place. So right now, I want you to say, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, I want you to pray out loud with everybody. Father in heaven, I ask you to come into my heart. and save me. I believe that you were crucified and you rose again for me. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I thank you that I have the power, the breakthrough power. Father, I thank you for putting my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed and with every eye closed still, if you just gave your life to Jesus for the first time today, if you just said that prayer for the first time, I'm going to ask you on the count of three just to slip your hand up, and then you can put it back down after I acknowledge you. But we want to get a Bible to you, and there's a card that we ask you to fill out that card. And just after the service, put it in one of the offering buckets. But right now, be bold, because the Word says that if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. So right now, with all boldness, on the count of three, just I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up and then put it right back down. One, two, three. Put your hand up real quick. Thank you. Thank you. There's a couple. I see any more. Any more. Be bold this morning. All right. Thank you, Father. All right, everybody, look here. Hey, we got a couple of new brothers and sisters in Christ this morning. Amen. Woo! Man, have y'all had a good time this morning? Wow. I'm ready for breakthrough. Golly. I'm so fired up. Oh, announcements.